Hello there, Internet, and welcome to the inaugural episode of The Angry Philly Fan. And I am your Angry Philly Fan, John Angelillo. Now, I want to talk about the Phillies. I know I'm kind of jumping right in with the anger, you know, but the Phillies, oh my God. I need a sip of my beer. Hold on. Where do I start with them? Oh, yeah, I know where to start. Ruben Amaro Jr. last month said Darren Ruff is not a major league everyday player. All right. Fine, I know he's probably a little, needs a little more seasoning, whatever. They go out and sign Marlon Byrd. Marlon Byrd. And yeah, I know what some people are going to say. Well, Angry Philly Fan, Marlon Byrd hit 24 home runs last year and hit 291. Why are you complaining? Well, the reason why I'm complaining is that Marlon Byrd is going to turn 37 when the season starts. Now, what is the biggest complaint people have with the Phillies besides the fact that they suck? Sorry, they suck. I mean, there's no way around it. They stink. The Phillies are old. Ryan Howard's getting up there. Jimmy Rollins is up there. Chase Utley's up there. Carlos Ruiz is up there. I'll get to him in a little bit. The major problem with the Phillies is they have a lot of old players from their last run they made couple years ago. They're all stuck here. They're all hanging around. Chase Utley is probably the only guy who I would like to see stick around because he's Chase fucking Utley. He's the man, you know? But Jimmy Rollins losing it. Ryan Howard can't stay healthy. Carlos Ruiz. The Phillies just re-signed Carlos Ruiz to a 3-year contract. A 35-year-old catcher with a PED suspension on his record. And he's a 35-year-old catcher. Catchers don't last that long. I mean, you see a lot of catchers who are old, but they're not everyday players. They're usually backups. But that's neither here nor there. I forgot. Marlon Byrd. All right. All right, I'll lay off Marlon Byrd for a little bit. I don't get more to Amaro. So, the Phillies cleared a lot of money in just dead contracts or guys they just got rid of. Roy Halladay's $20 million is coming off the books. John Mayberry's probably not coming back. You know, they're going to clear some money with Kyle Kendrick if they choose to let him go. And I think everyone had the impression that they were going to go out and sign somebody who was decent or make some decent moves. Marlon Byrd, that's going to be your answer for a right-handed power bat. Now, I know that the Phillies don't have many options in free agency in terms of right-handed power. The best two free agent outfielders are both left-handed, Jacoby Ellsbury and Shin-Soo Chu. However, if the Phillies are so worried about handedness in their lineup, why isn't he trying to get more creative? I would much rather have Shin-Soo Chu than Marlon Byrd. And I know what you're going to say. Well, Shin-Soo Chu is going to cost a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. Shin-Soo Chu is one of the most underrated players in baseball. And I believe he was among the leaders in OPS, on-base plus slugging, for you fans who don't quite know what I'm talking about. That's something the Phillies have been terrible at the last couple of years. Amaro does not value walks. He doesn't value anything. I think Amaro just values guys who are going to hit home runs because it's exciting. I don't know. He defies all logic. I believe the Phillies were the only team last year in baseball without an analytics department. Now, analytics, you probably heard a lot recently. Sam Hinkie's a big advocate in analytics, and he got ripped for it. Guess what? The Sixers, a team that was expected to win 8 games this year, has already won 5 games. So, if you want to insult analytics, say what you will. but in certain sports and certain circumstances, it makes sense. And in baseball, analytics is huge. Look at the Oakland Athletics. I want you out, all you listeners out there, to name me five players on the Oakland Athletics. That's what I thought. They're a team that's not built in star power. They're built in just decent overall players, but they have so many of these decent overall players, they can just win games. They're not built around two or three big name players who will just produce for them. Amaro just, I don't want to say he's the worst GM in baseball, because obviously there's teams that are much worse. I mean, the Astros losing, what, three, having three 100 loss seasons in a row. He's whoever their GM is probably pretty bad. And the guy who was just got let go by the Marlins, I mean, he's pretty bad. But you know what? They have no payroll. Their GM doesn't have much financial flexibility. Ruben Amaro has the third or fourth largest payroll in baseball, and he's just consistently screwing up. I'm at a loss for words when I'm trying to think about, trying to wrap my brain around the Phillies' offseason so far. They go out and try and trade Dominic Brown for Jose Bautista? Are you fucking serious? Jose Bautista hasn't had a fully healthy season in, what, 2 years? And you want to trade Dominic Brown and prospects for him? What are you thinking? I know Jose Bautista is a good hitter, but you're going to trade your most valuable asset besides Michael Franco and J.P. Crawford for Jose Bautista? The Phillies right now are trying to save money. So instead of trying to move, say, Jimmy Rollins, or I know it's going to be impossible, but Ryan Howard, you want to move Dominic Brown and add more salary? Or you want to bring in a guy who he's been accused of PED use, but I know he's never failed a test. I'm not trying to accuse Jose Bautista of anything here, but he's a guy whose success has come into question, and his health concerns have been numerous. I know he's had a bad wrist and broken leg, all these litany of injuries. You want to bring him in, and you think he's gonna make you a contender? I don't know what to say with him. I think Amaro is just, I think he knows he's going to get fired at the end of 2014, and he's just grasping at anything that could potentially save his job. And you know what? At that point, you're the Phillies, you're Dave Montgomery. How do you not just say, you know what? Goodbye. It's time to start over. If you're gonna mortgage our future just to save yourself, then you know what? You're fired. Sorry. End of story. So, all right. I cannot talk about the Phillies anymore without wanting to consume more alcohol. So, let's be more positive. Let's talk about the Eagles. Yeah, the Eagles. I'm pretty sure the most sane fan. Now, when I say most sane fans with Eagles fans, I know that's probably few and far between, but most people didn't realize the Eagles are going to make the playoffs. Now, I know they have some good players on their team. Before, I mean, I'm speaking in terms of before the season started. They had LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, Fletcher Cox is an emerging player, so is Michael Kendricks. Zach Ertz is a rookie who a lot of people liked. But I picked them to win five games this year. Yeah, five games, because I looked at their schedule and I looked at their overall roster and I looked at the coaching. I thought it was going to be, the Eagles be riding the struggle bus for most of the year and then play a little bit better. Well, the Eagles right now, through 11 weeks, have 6 wins. They've won one more game than I projected them to win. And I don't want to jinx them, knock on wood. They're a potential playoff team. And the reason why I say that is that they can put up 24 to 30 points a game, and their defense can play well enough where they'll be in every game they're going to play. They're going to play, I believe, after the bye, they're going to play the Cardinals. That's a winnable game, and I know the Cardinals have a really good defense, but with Nick Foles right now, he's playing so well. And LeSean McCoy, I think, said it best. He said, okay, you want to overcommit to the run? We'll just beat you through the air. You want to play deep and cover the pass? We'll just run the ball all over you. That's what I wanted to see with Andy Reid as the head coach. I think we had better weapons the last couple years when Brent Celek was healthy, you know, Michael Vick, when he was, you know, still a viable quarterback, and LeSean McCoy was younger because they could run the ball on anybody they wanted to when Andy Reid wanted to commit to the run, and their passing game was still decent. They could still move the ball down the field. The Eagles, I believe, 2011 were like second in the NFL in total yards, so there you go. But they just never knew how to produce a balanced offense. Right now, Chip Kelly's running one of the most balanced offenses in the NFL. He's only had one or two games this year where I think he really like overcommitted to the air. And I believe in both those games he lost. So there you go. Speaking of the Eagles, one thing I want to focus on too when I talk about them is their defense. I look at the defense and I'm kind of torn on them. Statistically, they're not that good. They're ranked 31st in yards allowed. But you look at it recently, their points allowed, they've done a very good job. They're a bend but don't break defense. And every week, they seem to bend less and less, and they're not breaking. The Redskins, a lot of people were talking about a shutout. Now, I know near the end of the game, the Redskins kind of came back, but that's what the Redskins have done all year. They put up good stats when they're getting blown out in like the fourth quarter and almost come back. So that's a bit of an anomaly last week, in my opinion. But nevertheless, they've done a very good job. They were on the field for 90 plays against the Raiders, and they allowed only 20 points. And one of those touchdowns they gave up was in garbage time. The Eagles had their second stringers in there. So that doesn't really count, in my opinion. So the Eagles' defense, to me, has done a very good job. Now, this week, I know we're in a bye week. Everyone's resting. If you go over to csnphilly.com, there's a very interesting article about Chip Kelly sports science. And I know a lot of people made a big deal about the personalized shakes the Eagles were giving out to their players and the stretching and all the calisthenics and the lack of hitting. Well, guess what? The Eagles are one of the healthiest teams in the league right now. And heading into deep into November and then on to December, that's huge. The Eagles are going to be playing teams that are banged up. And it goes without saying, if you're playing a team that has less starters or not as, you know, not all their key players, you have a better chance to win the game. Eagles probably wouldn't have beaten the Packers if Aaron Rodgers wasn't hurt. You know, I don't have to go into detail about that. So, Eagles, I like their chances coming off the bye. Playing the Cardinals at home, not this Sunday, next Sunday. I really like their chances in that game. They're probably going to be 3-point favorites heading into that game because they're coming off a bye. And the Cardinals, I don't have in front of me the schedule, but they're probably going to have to come play them fresh. So there you go. All right. Not much anger towards them. The Eagles are playing well. I mean, I don't say you could be angry at the Eagles right now. So, Now, I'm looking at my sheet here. Now I'm looking at a team that's wants me to rip out the hair if I still had it. And that's the Philadelphia Flyers. What a bunch of teases the Philadelphia Flyers are. The Flyers open up the season 2-7 or 3-11 or some terrible record, And if you watch a Flyers game, you want to take your remote and throw it through your television. They've been so up and down. But recently, you kind of want to let your guard down and like finally accept them, or accept this team they have this year. You know, as I think we've accepted the Eagles, they've been playing so much more consistent hockey over the last 6 or 7 games. I think the only game where they really blew was the Winnipeg Jets game, where they lost in a shootout. But at least there, they still got a point for it. So in the standings, they weren't really hurt so much by it. Now, the guy I want to talk about is Claude Giroux. Now, I know a lot of people are mixed on Giroux because he's a guy who could put up big numbers, but ever since he put on the C, he struggled. Excuse me. Now, I'm talking about Claude Giroux there. Sorry about it. I was taking another sip of my beer. The Flyers, when they gave Giroux the C, they were thinking they had the next Bobby Clarke, which really stems from the Flyers' problem overall with their team philosophies. They're still trying to build their team like it's the 70s. Are you fucking serious? The Flyers have been stuck in their own glory from their past every year. You know, it's always, we need to find the best goalie since Bernie Parent. We need to get that really aggressive 2A forward that we had since Bobby Clarke. We need to get that 50-goal athletic winger like Rick McLeish. What the hell are you thinking? Why are we still worried, if the Flyers are still worried about trying to build a team from the 1970s, when clearly that style of hockey is no longer applicable to the modern age? Fighting has pretty much almost been outlawed by the NHL, and the Ray Emery goalie fight is a perfect example of how you just can't just mug people anymore. People don't even accept it anymore. People want to see speed, they want to see athleticism, they don't want to see people being thugs. And when I look at the Flyers, look at the roster, they're just built to be thugs. Like, Jay Rosehill is a thug. Zach Ronaldo is a thug. Why do they even have those two guys on their teams anymore? I feel like whenever the Flyers go into a game, I'm going to expect at least 2 or 3 penalties just from those two guys for dumb things, not for any good reasons. I'm just at a loss for words with how they're running their team. Now, I know the Flyers are now 8-7-1 under Craig Berube, and now everyone is riding his jock now because their Flyers are playing a lot better under him than they did earlier. And they are. I'm not going to deny them that. But I want to look at the team overall from the future, not just from, you know, what just happened the last couple weeks. I don't know what to think. I want to sit here and say they're going to come back, they'll win out most of the season, and they'll make the playoffs. I can't say that right now. I love Steve Mason, but I'm worried with the defense. Their defense is old. Their two best defensemen are Mark Streit and Kimo Tiiminen, and they're a combined age of almost 74 years. That's too old. I mean, come on. Why isn't Luke Shen stepping up? Why isn't Braden Schenn playing more consistently? What happened to Erik Gustafsson? He showed flashes last year of being a good defenseman, and this year he's being a healthy scratch almost every other game. You know, why is Andre Mazzara still on this team? I don't think Paul Holmgren really has a plan. And now, I've just recently discovered that the Flyers have Braden Schenn, one of their best young players, on the trade block. However, it's reported that they'll only move Braden Schenn for a quote-unquote impact player. Now, I don't know what an impact player is in the mind of Paul Holmgren. Probably someone who doesn't suck, which really speaks to volumes about how Paul Holmgren evaluates talent. people, this is the guy who gave away Sergei Bobrovsky for a bag of hockey pucks. This is the guy who traded James Van Riemsdyk 1 year after signing him to a big extension for Luke Shen, who, oh, by the way, they're shopping him too. If they trade Braden Shen, I don't know what they're going to get back. I would honestly not be surprised if they traded Braden Shen for someone like an Anton Volchenkov or a Paul Martin, like a defenseman who is a decent second liner when they're healthy, but they're just too old. He's just like Ruben Amaro. He's just grasping at straws to save his job. And the sad part about it is, the worst kept secret in that organization is that Ron Hextall is going to be their next GM. Paul Holmgren, unless he wins the Stanley Cup, he's going to lose his job. And if he's going to try and bring the Flyers down with him, I just can't really, when I watch the Flyers, I really can't accept that. That really disgusts me. So, I don't know what to think right now, so I'm having another sip of beer. Hold on. All done. All right. Who do I got left here? Ah, the Sixers. All right. I'm really happy that Michael Carter-Williams is playing well. And I'm happy that Spencer Hawes and Evan Turner are playing well. So we can both trade their asses and get some more assets. But the Sixers being 5-7 right now, that's the shit I don't like. Okay? I don't like the fact that they're not losing enough games. I know that sounds terrible. You're going to be like, why are you actively rooting for a team to lose? Well, first off, this was the Sixers' plan from the start. Sam Hinkie's grand scheme was, we're not going to be very good. And I have a source who I'm not going to really name, you know, it's an unnamed source who has somebody they know at the PCOM Center where the Sixers practice, spoke to Sam Hinkie, and Sam Hinkie told him, when asked if the Sixers were tanking, we're not tanking, we're just planning on not being very good. We're pretty much trying to tank. And I know 5-7, you know, that's nothing to write home about, but I was expecting them to be 2-10 or 3-9, not 5-7. And I know they've lost a lot of their games recently, but I want them to get Andrew Wiggins. I want them to get Jabari Parker. I want them to get Julius Randle, Dante Exum, Mark. I want them to get at least in the top five. I want them in the NBA draft, that is, sorry. I want them to get an impact player to go along with MCW. And I want them to get another impact player to go along with Nerlens Noel. I don't know what Nerlens Noel can do because we haven't seen him even practice yet. They need another player to go along with those two, because even though Michael Carter-Williams is averaging 17 points per game, he's not a great shooter. They need a guy who can put up 25 points per game. And I don't see them going into free agency and getting LeBron James if he opts out of his contract. And knowing Sam Hinkie and his deep background in analytics, would be willing to go and sign Carmelo Anthony, who literally the only thing he can do is score points. He doesn't contribute anything else outside of that. Sam Hinkie likes all-around players, and Carmelo Anthony is not an all-around player, so I'll just scratch him off the list. They're not going to go out and get an elite player unless they stink. And let's be honest, the Sixers are already not on, with their roster already in a position where they're not going to make the playoffs more than likely or succeed in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win a playoff series. So why not just lose? And when I say lose, I mean not have them purposely miss shots and not win games, but When are they going to trade Spencer Hawes and capitalize off his early season success? I know Evan Turner is young, but he's inconsistent. And let's face it, I think he's just playing for a contract. He was one of the few rookies from the 2010 draft class to not get offered a contract extension. So if the Sixers weren't planning on keeping him in the first place, and he knows this, he's going to be in the open market. He has to play well. Now, part of it is Brett Brown finally getting to him, unlike Doug Collins, who really wasn't a supportive coach, let's be honest. Doug Collins did a very poor job at developing young talent. I don't know what they're going to do. So I would love to see them lose a lot of games by like 5 or 7 points. You know, games where they almost won, but they're young. So you know in the future they're going to improve and they're going to gel and they're going to win those games in the future. That's what I want to see. All right. Well, a lot of time this week. I'll talk to you guys next week, you know. I'll give you some analysis for the Eagles game. And I'll know more about the Flyers, and we'll know more about the Sixers, and maybe the Phillies won't shit the bed on their free agency. Probably asking for a little bit too much. All right, this is John, the Angry Philly Fan, signing off.